Psalms 24. Let's start there tonight. Father, I just declare right now that as we read your word and we approach the word, that, Lord, that you're going to speak into our hearts. You're going to touch each and every one of us. And, Lord, no matter what comes out of my mouth, no matter what how I say, I just declare that by the power of the Holy Ghost, you anoint the words, that it goes into the people's ears, that they're able to hear tonight your words that changes our hearts, that sets us free, that brings truth into our lives, so that, Lord, we can be all that we can be for you on this earth. And, Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, the earth is the Lord's in the full, and it's all of its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded upon it the seas, he's established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Now go back over here to Mark chapter 4. And look at verse 13. Mark 4:13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones that by the wayside where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that is sown in their hearts. Now, we've been talking about this for the last few weeks and talking about how about having a pure heart and having a heart that is full of the things of God. And how many times, like, we started off over in Acts chapter 2 talking about how, you know, the day of Pentecost comes and there's this great move of God, but yet there's people who didn't receive it. There's people who didn't go along with it. And I've always been amazed by that because it seems to me like we ought to know if God shows up. I mean, we would think that he created us, the Bible says, in our mother's womb, and that there should be something within us that says that's God or that's not. Now, I've been around things that people told me were God, and I can tell you, I don't think it was. I'm sure all of us maybe have experienced something like that. Somebody said, that's God, but then I got to looking, and I said, man, that ain't God, because it's not producing any fruit, and people aren't blessed, and there's no joy, there's no peace. You just looked and just judged a few things, just didn't have to be, know all the ins and outs about it. You could just judge from the outside and look and say, well, that ain't God. Then I've seen other things that people say, I don't know about that stuff. I don't know about that Holy Ghost stuff. I don't know about that charismatic stuff. I don't know about that this or that. But then you get into it, man, I mean, it's absolutely 100% God. People are getting blessed and touched and healed and miracles are taking place or whatever, and it was God. But people didn't agree with it. But that amazes me. I'm just amazed by it, that we ought to know God. We ought to be able to know the difference between if it is or it isn't. But there's people out there and they don't receive the truth. And what Brother Ivan was talking about was really, really speaking to me. Because they don't receive the truth. And they don't receive the truth because they've somewhere in them developed a stronghold where they will not allow truth to come in. And so I began to think about that and dwell on that and look at that and twist it and turn it around when that thought kept hitting me and these scriptures began to jump out to me. Let me show you something else. Go over here to Mark chapter 7. And let's look at this. Let's just start reading in verse 1. Now the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together with him having come from Jerusalem. And when they saw him and his disciples eating bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. Now, take note there that it says they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the traditions of the elders. Now, there's nowhere in the Old Testament under the Levitical law that said anything about how to wash your hands. It did talk about washing and cleansing and purifications and things like that, but they had taken it, and they had taken it to a degree, to a level, and they said, well, you have to do it, but you have to do it this way. All right? They added to it. Okay? Here we go. Now, when they come to the marketplace, they did not eat unless they washed. There was many other things which they had received, like the washing of cups and pitchers, copper vessels, and so on and so forth and everything. Let's see here. Jump down for reading's sake. Here at the end of verse 6, where did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Right? Who's going to ascend to the hill of God? Who has a pure heart? What does the devil come? Take the word that is sown in their heart. The people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching the doctrine, the commandments of men. The laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the tradition of men. The washing of pitchers and cups and other such things you do. And he said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions. In other words, they were confronted with truth. Truth that would have set them free. Truth that would have brought liberty to them. Truth that would have but would bring freedom into their lives. But when they were confronted with the truth, instead of taking the truth, they rejected the truth and they pushed the truth down. Let's read on here. Verse 10, Moses said, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, okay, now here's the twist. All right? He's saying the law says, the truth says, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses his father and mother, let him be put to death. Very simple, very straightforward, right? But you say, if a man says to his father and mother, whatever profit you have received from me is Corban, that is a gift of God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father and his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your traditions, which you've handed down and many other such things. So what it means is that it was like if you had $20 and your parents needed some help, they needed some finances, but you didn't want to give it to them. So you would say, oh, well, I gave this $20 to God. It's really God's money. He's letting me have, so I can't give it to you because it's really God's money and I can't give it to you. So the Pharisees would control their finances and not bless. And they said, well, I can't do anything about it. But they had twisted it around. Y'all with me? But they had been confronted with the truth. They knew what the word said. To be a Pharisee, you had to be able to read the scriptures forwards and backwards. They knew what the word said. They knew the word just simply said, honor your father and your mother. End of story. But they found a way around it because they didn't want to honor their father and their mother. What happens to us in life is how Satan builds strongholds in our life and begins to set up his own paradigms and prisms within our own minds and strongholds in our minds is by us being confronted with the truth of God's word, but then we don't want to do it, so we find a way around it. And the moment you do that, boom, you got a stronghold. Satan has place in your life to speak. Didn't it sound bad when I said it that way? I mean, it's the truth. But it really hurts, it really stings when you say Satan has set up a stronghold in your mind. You have satanic strongholds. Those just sound, wow, don't say that, Pastor. That's like, you know, like I'm demon possessed or something. Don't say that, Pastor. Am I right? Am I, doesn't it sound like it's almost I'm saying ugly words when I say that? But it's the truth. It's the kingdom of darkness set up in our lives. And why is he doing it? Look here. Hold your finger there in chapter 7 because we're going to go back to that. And go to Romans chapter 1. This is going to help you here tonight. Start reading Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Everybody say, everyone who believes. Say it again, everyone who believes. In other words, it's our faith in God's word that activates the promises. Is that right? So then the promise is just a promise laying there dormant until our faith picks it up, or let's say until it falls upon our ears, and then by faith we believe it, and the moment we believe it, then the promise becomes real, right? So it's like wiring your house for electricity, putting in a light bulb, but never turning on the switch, right? By faith, when you turn the switch on, the light comes on, and then you can see, and the darkness is dispelled. The same with the promise of God's word. When the word, you hear the word, the truth, you're confronted with the truth, and the truth comes into you and it hits you, and it's in you, you heard it, And you're wanting to get it in your heart. It's not really in your heart. It's in your head until your faith believes that word is true. And then, boom, the light switch is turned on. Faith activates the word and the word gets settled in your heart. And then it's really yours. But until that time, it's not. It's just in your head. Now, remember, Mark 4 said, Satan wants to take it immediately from your heart. He didn't say from your head. Right? Now, listen to this. I'm just throwing this out. This is one of those things I've been chewing on since Sunday, like a piece of meat. I've just been, it's just kind of rolling around in my mouth. I just keep chewing on it. What if we always have looked at, or I have at least, the sower sows the word, and those that go out to sow the seed, and some fell upon the wayside. And I've always looked at those as degrees of people that they didn't really receive the word. Because, the stones, the thorns, the wayside. But what if all four of those, I'm just throwing this out. Dr. Richards is throwing out a teaching revelation tonight. I'm throwing this out. What if all four of those heard the word and did put faith in it and did believe it? Because if it was just in your mind, the devil wouldn't be worried about trying to get it out because you haven't done anything with it. I'm just throwing this out. Just chew on it a little bit. You see, it's not like they didn't receive it. What if all four people heard the word and received the word and they got in there and their faith, I do believe that's true, and faith was activating it and it was working. But Satan said that can't work because if it works for them, they're going to have victory. And I don't want them to have victory. So he has to do something. Now let me keep reading with that thought in your mind. For the wrath of God, I'm in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, for unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Suppress the truth. It means to hold down, suppress, hold down. In other words, you got the truth, but you're holding it down. Because you don't really, you say, oh, God, that word is true. And you believed it, but then all of a sudden you found out in order to walk in that word, it's going to cost you something. In order to walk in the promise, it was going to cost you something. In other words, you were going to be, whatever it be. Your pride came in effect because you knew if you stepped into that word, then, you were going to become a radical Christian. If you became a radical Christian, but then that was going to cause you to be with a different group of friends, and you kind of like these friends over here. And so, but see, you already tapped into it by faith. You already, because why would you need to reject it unless you had believed it? Why do you need to suppress truth unless you have believed truth to be true? Hello? Has anybody in here, have you ever witnessed to somebody, talked to somebody about Jesus or about God or something, and they've never heard anything? They didn't know anything about God. Have anybody ever tried to, just raise your hands. Okay, there's a few of you. You're trying to talk to them. It's a very difficult thing. Because if you just try to witness to somebody about Jesus who has never been in church, never heard anything about Jesus, doesn't know anything about Christmas, doesn't know anything. It's hard to, I said, I'm going to tell you something. There's people in the United States of America who do not know why we have Christmas. Right? And so when you try to tell them about it, if they've never heard about it, anything, it gets to be a difficult thing because you can't say anything. Well, you know Abraham and Sarah. I said, well, who's Abraham and Sarah? We don't know about what you're talking about. It gets difficult because you're like, oh, man, where do I start to try to tell you about this God who loves you when you have no concept? You see, you can't suppress. That's not a person who's suppressing truth. They got no truth in them. Folks, I'm telling you, Romans chapter 1 right here, he's talking about people who know God. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness because, listen, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Woo! He's shown it to them. Satanic. That sounds like a drink, doesn't it? Give me one of them satanics. Make sure you erase that, please. I don't want that over the airways anywhere. To say this ugly word, that you've got satanic strongholds in your mind. I mean, a place where Satan is speaking to you is a place that you've been confronted with the truth, but you didn't want to walk in the truth. You suppressed the truth, so therefore the devil had place. Let's change. You say, God says he loves me, but I don't believe he loves me. Nobody loves me. The truth is, God loves you. The lie that's been sown in your heart, nobody loves me. You say, well, that's just a thought you have. No. That's a satanic stronghold that's been developed in your mind that nobody loves you, because that's not the truth. The truth is, well, I know the Bible said God loves me, but how could God love me? You know, he didn't know all. God knows all the things I've done. I've done so many bad things. God couldn't love me. Now, wait a minute. You're arguing now with the truth. Do you follow what I'm saying here? It seems when I say a satanic stronghold, it sounds like such a big deal. But when you narrow it down to that, you've literally taken the truth, suppressed it, and you've let the lie come in. Let's read on. For since the creation of this world, the invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You see, the devil, when he comes in, he says he's going to come in there and he's going to steal the word that's sown in your heart. If he can't, the way he steals the word that's sown in your heart is by getting you to believe the lie, so that faith is not put in the truth, it's put into the non-truth. Faith is not put in truth, it's put over here in the non-truth. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their heart. Lust of the heart. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts. In other words, their heart has developed what they're going to walk in. To dishonor their bodies among themselves. And look at this. Who exchanged. Everybody say exchanged. If you walk into Walmart and you say, I'd like to exchange this shirt, but you don't have a shirt in your hand, they're going to look at you and say, what shirt? What do you mean? You want to exchange what? I want to exchange a shirt. I need to get another shirt. Shirt, well, where's the shirt? You got the receipt? Where's the shirt you got? You can't. It says they exchanged the truth of God. So then, in other words, there was a switch. In other words, they knew what it said, but they like. Well, I don't. You know, I like this. You with me? There has to be an exchange somewhere along the line. In other words, for a person to be set up a stronghold in their mind, they have to have been handed the truth and a lie. And exchange the truth of God for a lie. They worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, go back. Mark 7. Y'all following me here? I'm going to read verse 9 now. Mark 7:9. And he said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions. The point I'm trying to make here is you do not get strongholds in your mind. You do not come into areas of your life just because you wandered into sin. Now, hear me out on this. Don't just shut me off. Listen to me. You can't just be walking on the street one day. Poof, got it. Stronghold set up in your mind. You get strongholds because you have to parlay between the truth of God's word and the lie. It's not, what is the opposite of truth? So what is the opposite of God? So if the opposite of God is the devil and the opposite of truth is a lie, then the devil's going to sow lies and God's going to sow truth. And the devil's just sitting there saying, okay, oh, Darlene got a revelation. She got a revelation of God. She's going to start to believe that word. I've got to present her another word. The word he's presenting is a lie. And I got to get her to try to believe it more than she believes that, because if she puts her faith in what God says, boom, she's going to have victory. But I've got to get her off track, so I've got to present her with the lie. Right? And then you make the exchange. And then when you make the exchange, buddy, that lie is yours. And you hold on to it. And somebody will walk up and say, my, you are so beautiful. Your skin is so pretty. Oh, no, it's not as ugly, man. I tell you, I'm the ugliest person I've ever seen. Nobody's uglier than me. And he said, what do you mean? You're beautiful. No, I'm not. I'm ugly. And you get 100 people walk by and say, everyone will say, you're beautiful, you're beautiful, you're beautiful. No, I'm not. I'm ugly. I'm ugly. Because you exchanged the truth for a lie. You bought it. It's yours. You took it to the bank. It's sown within you. And so it then sets up the prisms in your mind that everything you begin to look at, you then, if you stay in it long enough, get so twisted that you can't see truth anymore. So what he said, they exchanged the truth of God for lie and believed and rather serve the creature rather than the creator. They begin to see everything slanted. Years ago, I mean, we're talking 25 years ago when I was carpentering, and we had to go do some remodeling. We went into a person's house, and I'll never forget it. I walked in their house, and I mean, a minute I walked in there, just was felt real oppressive and dark and whatever. And every picture in the house was crooked. I mean, every picture was just crooked. The mirror was crooked. The pictures were crooked. Everything in the house was crooked. And I was like, I mean, is this person one-eyed, you know, and everything just kind of cockeyed, you know, so they see everything and they can't see straight, or, you know, one leg shorter than the other and they just kind of lean to the side and say, oh, yeah, that looks straight. You know, I mean, I was really just mesmerized at this whole thing that, how could an entire, and I thought, well, maybe the kids are just rambunctious. They ran to the living room. It had to be some rowdy kids and knock all. I mean, I'm talking about every picture. And there's lots of pictures in this house. And so I went and I looked down the hallway and all the pictures were crooked. And I just remember thinking to myself, I don't know what kind of warpness is in this person's life, but something's wrong that they can't see that everything's crooked. And I know that's a physical thing. But that's the same way it gets to be when we exchange the truth for a lie. You don't see that it's crooked. And that's what's called deception. And you become deceived. And you don't see the truth. Let me read on. Verse 13, making the word of God of no effect through your traditions which you have handed down. So in other words, by handing down these traditions, every person who believed the lie which they were selling, thinking it was truth, it's made the word of God of no effect. You with me? So if you had an abusive father who always told you you were stupid, and you believe that you're stupid, and you can't do anything, you can't achieve anything, you're never going to make anything, and you get that lie sewn in, you exchange the truth for a lie, then that's what's the stronghold within your mind, and that's why that person sees everything slanted and off, and no matter what somebody tells them, You can do anything. No, I can't. I'm stupid. And then they sell that to their kids, right? So they're selling the lie, not the truth. And we're called to be promoters of the truth. We're called to be promoters of the gospel. We're called to be promoters of what God's word said to sow into people's life to try to get people to believe. Right? Now, this is so funny. Satan's kingdom that he sets up seems so strong. But it will crumble and shatter in just a moment if that person would just believe the truth. It's all gone. And if a person, listen to me, if a person doesn't believe it but wants to believe it, if they would just confess that it's true, it will come to pass. Because if a person believes, says, oh, God doesn't love me, but they'll just shut up saying that and start to say, well, God loves me. Even if inside they say, well, I don't really think he does, but I'm going to say he does. They're starting to gain ground. And then tremors are starting to take place. Like an earthquake's getting ready to happen in the kingdom of darkness in those areas of your life. And it starts to shake and shake as you're saying, God loves me. And you say, I don't feel like God loves me. God loves me. Earthquake's starting to happen in the devil's kingdom. Because the truth is going to always rise above the lie. But faith has to be activated in it. Let's read on. Verse 15 says, nothing enters a man from outside that can defile him, but the things which come out of him are those things that defile a man. If a man has ears to hear, let him hear. When we've entered in the house away from the crowd, the disciples answered concerning the parable and asking. And he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because he was talking about you can't eat the anything that was, you know, unclean, ceremonially unclean. Because it does not enter his heart. I guess a doctor could order that. If you eat too much ice cream, I guess it does enter your heart. But we're not talking about that heart. Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and it's eliminated, and thus is all purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of a man, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. Can I change that word for just a second? I'm not trying to make it mean something else. When I read it, I read it about three times a day. Because, you know, I've got to have glasses now to see the... A guy told me today, he said, yeah, the focus is going out of my eyes. You're like a binocular. I said, yeah, mine's locked up. And I read it three times today, and I started laughing because I said, what comes out of a man, that's what defines a man. And I thought, defines a man? I don't remember seeing anything about defines a man. I had the first part, first three letters right. And then I thought, defines a man. And then I thought, doesn't that kind of fit? What comes out of a mouth is going to define a man, whether he's a grump or a complainer or a believer or a joyful person. What comes out of a man is going to define him. Anyway, and then I put my glasses on and said, oh, it says defiles him. Okay. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thieves, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. So Jesus himself is talking about, they're evil things. How did they get there? Because they were, the truth was suppressed and the lie was believed. Right? And I don't know about you. I want to walk in truth and I don't want to be deceived in my own life. And so the only way I've learned to walking that is to pray prayers like David prayed in Psalms 24. Who's going to go up under the mountain with God? Those that have a clean hands and a pure heart. Lord, I want clean hands and a pure heart. I want to walk in what's right. I want to believe the truth, not a lie. Show me, Holy Ghost, any place in my life that I'm believing, that I'm walking in a lie. And whatever that lie is, then help me, Lord, to get your word, the truth, of what that situation really says. And then I'm telling you, church, then it's up to you to speak it out. And as you speak it out, it begins to destroy the kingdom of darkness. Otherwise, you begin to put faith in the lie, and that's what starts manifesting in your life. You know, I've told you that I'm trying to, y'all are my accountability, I'm trying to exercise and walk and do things. Oh, man, last few days we've been working on the concrete, my feet hurt so bad when I come home in the evenings. And the other night I sat down and I said, oh, you can't sit down. If you sit down, you're not gonna get out of this easy chair. You got to get up. You got to get up. You got to go walk. You got to do it. And so I was coaching myself and encouraging myself. And there was the other side of me was screaming, oh, there's no way. You got to just not today. We'll do it tomorrow. We won't walk today, but we'll do it tomorrow. I said, no, I'm not gonna give you an ounce. And so I went in there and I put my walking clothes on, I got my tennis shoes on, and I went back, and then I made the mistake. I sat down in the chair again, and so then I'm sitting there, I said, oh, man, I can't do it. And so it's just like, you know, it's y'all know this. There's a war going on in your brain of two worlds, two voices. One saying this and one saying that. And this is a simple thing I'm talking about here, but it's the same principle. Whether it's the war going on and saying, nobody loves you, nothing's going to work out, whatever the lie is, it's coming. And it's so funny how your body, like in the case of exercising, your body will make up all these excuses. And then the moment you say okay and you yield to it, then it starts making you feel guilty because you didn't go do it. Complex, crazy thing. So finally, man, I bolted for the door, went out. I said, I got to go outside. I got to do it, man. I got to, man, just every step was just pain. And I just walked out. I said, that's it, man. I don't care what you do. I said, I'm going to hurt you now. And then after a minute, I started getting stronger about it. I said, I'm going to hurt you. Matter of fact, I'm going to jog. I'm going to run. I'm going to push it. I'm going to walk farther than I've ever done. I'm going to torture you like you ain't never been tortured. You better shut up now, because the more you talk, the harder I'm going to make it on you. And then after a minute, man, it's all gone. Just doing my deal. It's like my body decided, told the crazy part in me, shut up. We want to go back to the house, and this guy's gone nuts today, so just don't. But literally, that's what it takes in life to get victory. I mean, there's no easy way around it. There's no easy way around it. And so the second thing is, or the third or the fifth and the ninth or the twelfth, whatever I said today. The next thing is you really need somebody to help you. You ain't going to make it on your own. So funny, Ivan, you know, he always talks a big talk about exercise and walking all stuff. So I said, well, come on, let's go out to my house. Let's go do it on Saturday. I said, come on. Me now? Come on. Let's go to the road. Let's go. Well, you know, I said, let's go, man. Get in the truck. Come on. Get your shoes on. Let's go. So I took him out there and got him out on the road and said, I said, man, let's go. So here we started walking, you know, he and I. And it's funny because at first we were having a lot of conversation, and then after a little bit, we weren't having any conversation. We were just trying to keep going. So finally he said to me, I said, you need to quit, because I didn't want to hurt him preach on Sunday. I said, you need to stop. No, just whatever. And so then the second time I said, you need to stop. And he said, I can't make the decision. I'm too tired right now to think. So whatever you say. I said, okay, let's go one more. If you're at that point, let's go one more lap. And so then he called me, told me, he said, listen, you got to call me every day. You got to encourage me every day, because, man, we walked, and I know I got to do it. And so every day I've been calling him, say, hey, you know, send him a little text. You walk in, you know. You got to have somebody to help you. The same way, listen to me, the same way is the craziness in your head. You got to say, have somebody say, help me through this. Come help me. Talk to me. Remind me what God's word said. Catch me when it comes out of my mouth. Husbands and wives, you need to stop each other and say, you know, that's not the word. That's not the word. That's not the truth. So that you can have victory. Amen? So look at the person beside you and say, you're going to make it.